Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Annapolis will see a grand sight tomorrow. Sailing into its harbor, the tall ship Hermione, the precise replica of the three-masted frigate that carried the Marquis de Lafayette back to America in 1780 with secret news that would prove crucial in America's fight for independence. There'll be ceremonies, a fife and drum parade, and a wreath laying. And joining us to put tomorrow's events in context is architect and amateur historian Peter Schwab. He's past president of the Society of the Sons of the Revolution in the state of Maryland. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Sheila.
So let's talk first about the part of Annapolis history connected to the original frigate Hermione. What news was the young Marquis de Lafayette carrying for his mentor George Washington when he arrived on the Hermione in April of 1780?
He brought news from Louis XVI of his support, which was a risky thing to do at the time, and it meant a lot of money, but his support for the American cause. By doing that, he was entering into a world war, and it was important, things like the Sugar Islands. We're talking the equivalent of modern multi-billion-dollar corporations. Those were the things that were at stake. But in our case, it was in order to help our effort in our struggle against the British Army.
And it was to Annapolis that the frigate Hermione?
The Hermione returned to New England and brought Lafayette back with that news. Soon after, it became apparent when the French did arrive that what they really brought, they brought soldiers, but they brought ships. The ship is the more powerful thing. If you're able to block a port, then that's like a big chess game. And so in order to catch Cornwallis at Yorktown, they sent their army marching south from Massachusetts and through Newport, Rhode Island. The American army was traveling a parallel course, but the French arrived in Annapolis in the summer of 1781, extremely hot August weather, traveling in woolen coats and shoes that were falling apart. They spiked their water with rum so they could drink it because they had concerns about the local water being unhealthy. And what happened is about 7 to 9 of the soldiers that died with the French were buried on what is now the campus of St. John's College in Annapolis.
And your society, about 100 years ago, erected a monument to them.
In 1911, we erected a monument to the French soldiers and sailors who were buried there. The estate was called Bladen's Folly. That's where the French encamped of Rochambeau's army. They waited there to board transport ships to Yorktown, Virginia. And Bladen's Folly was a large, square, architectural brick house built by Governor Bladen of Maryland, who started spending so much of the colonial legislature's money that they cut him off. The house remained unfinished when the French were there. The interesting thing is that after the Revolution, St. John's College bought that land, and that is now McDowell Hall, the central historic building on St. John's College campus.
And so what's going to happen tomorrow at the monument to these French allies who died on the march?
Yeah. After a welcoming ceremony at the dock, there'll be a parade up to the monument with the old guard fife and drum of the U.S. Army, a very large contingent of expert drummers and fifers, as well as hereditary societies, reenactors, and members of the ship. The monument ceremony will have about 15 or 20 wreath layers. We will have the mayors of Rochefort, France, where the ship was built, the mayor of La Rochelle, French ambassadors, hereditary society leaders, and many others, French citizens of Rochefort. And so it'll be, that part will be somewhat solemn. We have Ben Goldman is an actor who plays Lafayette very well, and he's going to give a little speech about how much it meant to him as Lafayette, impersonating him, to be there and remember these, you know, fallen soldiers who are buried there.
On WIPR, I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Peter Schwab, past president of the Maryland chapter of the Society of the Sons of the Revolution. We're talking about ceremonies tomorrow in Annapolis when the replica of the French tall ship Hermione comes to call. I have been transfixed looking at images of this replica on the web, this ship Hermione. She's so beautiful. The original French battleship was grounded and wrecked just a few years after she carried Lafayette to America. So how does it come that there is a new frigate Hermione sailing the seas in 2015?
The people of France, especially in Roquefort, spent about over a decade rebuilding this ship. Some of the things they did is they trained people for years to learn the art, shipbuilder's art, how to swing an adze, how to make keels, how to make every aspect of the ship, iron parts, steel. And so they reconstructed a ship. They also had to teach people how to be 18th century artisans and carpenters. And they were able to do this because the sister ship, the Hermione, was La Concordia. That ship was captured by the British, and the British were so impressed with her design that they had draftsmen draw every aspect of her, and those drawings remain in the British Museum in perfect condition, and that is what was used to build this ship.
Lafayette, according to the website of the Hermione, she has a website, said when he sailed on her in 1780, she sails like a bird. What are some of the other events planned for tomorrow?
Well, there's going to be a reception. It's a private reception, but it's a way of thanking everybody involved in these events, including the City of Annapolis. Bob Agee has been a big help to us in the City of Annapolis. Also, our current president of the Sons of the Revolution is Russell Rich, who's put a lot of work into this. And also, Hall Worthington, a former brigadier general, is the wreath laying ceremony has been his event for many years, and he has connections. So we're having that reception afterwards. And there's many other things going on in Annapolis, though.
What do you hope the public takes away from all this hoopla surrounding the visit of the Hermione?
I think what's relevant is we're living in Maryland and we're looking at current day events and seeing things happen around the world, but there were major world events taking place here in our state. And there were big things going on. There were modern, sophisticated European armies moving in large scale across our countryside. And things happened here that if you go to Annapolis and realize these things happened here, the next time you go, you may feel differently about Annapolis. And that, I think, is what's important for people from Maryland.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Peter Schwab is a member of the Society of the Cincinnati, descendants of Revolutionary Army officers, and he's past president of the Society of the Sons of the Revolution in the state of Maryland. The current president, Russell Rich, has also been working to welcome the Hermione. The Hermione will be in Annapolis through tomorrow and then comes to Baltimore for the weekend, where she'll anchor adjacent to the USS Constellation and the Pride of Baltimore. At our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning, we've got more information about the Hermione, her voyage up the East Coast, when you can visit her, and many public events planned in Baltimore Harbor this weekend. I'm Sheila Cass. Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jonna McCone.
We have production help from
Mary Wiltenberg,
Christy Forrest,
and Scott Seiss.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in history, 1851, a Baltimore dairyman, Jacob Bussell, opened the country's first ice cream factory. It's been a good week for ice cream. We're back Wednesday. Please join us.